state and/or on the phone and on the state task force. So they'll be taking what they hear today and putting it into the official discussion and process.
So with that, I think it's Darryl Francois, who is at the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management in DC.
We're very close to DC, in Virginia, and you know.
Thank you, Heather, and thanks for the important participation in this session today. And thanks to organize and put together to discuss offshore wind energy development. Just give an overview of our program and sort of walk through things in a broad sense, and then there'll be plenty of time for questions and answers later, so see if I can make this work properly. Our program is focused on a real sort of a, how would you say, a four-step or four-stage process, and beginning with a planning and analysis and looking at what is a sort of a tiered look at how you would go out and select the most appropriate area for developing wind energy offshore the Atlantic coastal states on the OCS. And once we move out of that planning and analysis phase, which is for Maine, is that where we are now is in that planning and analysis program. We go into a leasing and site assessment and then commercial development. And at each stage of the process, we invite stakeholder participation, providing information and input to help us make our decisions as we move forward. We coordinate as best we can with federal, state, local, and tribal governments, as well as, and we depend on, as well as other stakeholders, and we depend on that interaction with the state and other federal agencies, as also for them to do a stakeholder outreach and bring information back to the table, so that when, as we move forward, we can have the fullest set of information possible. We also need to be cognizant of other regulatory agencies from a federal standpoint, also have responsibilities out on the in the ocean, and that we try to work our processes so that they coordinate and don't conflict with them as well. Our focus is on multiple use. We're well aware that the ocean is a busy place, that there's a lot of activity going on, there are a lot of users, and that our process as it moves forward needs to keep a strong focus on that. And then we have to work within all the other statutory laws and regulations that are out there, not just our governing law, which is the OCS Lands Act, that gives us the authority to manage and permit activities on the OCS that have to do with energy development, but there's also a host of other laws, the National Environmental Policy Act, Coastal Zone Management Act, and so on and so on and so on. We have set up to do this a set of intergovernmental task forces with states up and down the Atlantic coast. Also, we have activities dealing with hydrokinetic proposals offshore the Oregon coast, and just starting up a task force with the state of Hawaii to look at some right-of-way issues as well as some offshore wind development there as well. One of the key points to make with these intergovernmental task forces is that they don't replace other consultation mandates under existing federal laws and regulations. So, for instance, as I mentioned, Coastal Zone Management Act consistency determinations, as well as consultations that we have ongoing with Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Advisory Council on Historic Preservation and other issues like that. These forums, these intergovernmental task forces, are an active forum for us to educate each other, because what one of the things that we find as we move forward is that even you tend to think, as a federal agency, one, that everyone else knows what you're doing and what your responsibilities are. And you find that when you get around the table that there are gaps of knowledge as to what other federal agencies think, how they approach your process. There are gaps in our knowledge about what other federal agencies are doing. and what we need to understand in order to move forward. So it really is a forum to educate each other about permitting and our regulatory responsibilities. It's a forum for exchanging data, for gathering data, for verifying and testing data to see whether the validity of certain data sets are, and for identifying where data gaps are and making sure that we move forward and fill those data gaps as we go through that planning process. And it's also a forum for a continuing dialogue so that as decisions are made and move forward and we reach another stage of the process, we can go back and see if our data gathering and our data gaps are being filled adequately, if we need to take a pause and gather additional data before we move forward, or whether or not we can sort of assess and see how well we're doing and how quickly we can move into another stage. We also, just one last point again to emphasize that we do consider all these task force input when we make our leasing decisions. When you go up and down the East Coast, and we have these different task forces from Maine down through Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, North Carolina, just beginning one in South Carolina, we find that there's a common set of issues that keep coming up over and over again. And these are just a few of them listed here. You have extensive Department of Defense operations all up and down the Atlantic coast. There are lots of different information on sensitive habitats. There are archaeological and cultural sites, historic sites in places that have affected. Things that you might not say, they're not offshore issues, but if you get down to North Carolina, and they have extensive national seashores, so that there is a National Park Service mandate to preserve people's experience as they visit those national seashores, and we have to take that into account. So there's a whole host of issues that come up, and one of the main issues we have identified over and over again is commercial vessel traffic and also fishing issues as well. This is just to give you an overview of some of the planning activities we have going on along the Atlantic coast, other outside of Maine. We have right now active what we call calls for information and nominations, which is a request for the public as well as federal agencies to provide information to us about the potential conflicts, resource use conflicts, impacts of offshore development in Virginia, in Maryland, in Massachusetts. We've identified an area to undergo further environmental analysis, offshore Rhode Island, and we are at the planning stages offshore North Carolina. So that there is a host of activities going on that we're trying to manage and trying to navigate as we move forward during 2012 and into 2013. This is just sort of a template to show where we are in different stages in the process all up and down the Atlantic coast. And I highlighted Maine here where we are, we've had several task force meetings. We are now in the process after the last task force meeting in December of preparing what would be called a request for competitive interest for an area that was identified in the unsolicited lease application by Statoil. And they are currently looking at gathering as much information as we can about that area in order to move forward. And that's part of the reason for our participation in this forum here today, is to see what we hear from folks, stakeholders, public, and what information we can bring back to the leasing process. Just a quick overview. Just a quick overview of the proposal we have in front of us. Is the Statoil proposal is for 3 megawatt wind turbine generators, and we have folks up here who will today can correct me if I have misstated anything in any way, for a total of 12 megawatt nameplate capacity. Water depth is greater than 100 meters and located about 12 nautical miles off the coast. Now, of course, it's along coastline, so it's going to be 12 nautical miles off one area, but maybe not 12, entirely 12 off another. The idea is to demonstrate the commercial potential for floating offshore wind turbine technology. Ultimately, I guess the objectives, as we are aware, are to lead to a possibly commercial development somewhere down the line. And I guess the key thing to stop and just make a point there is that even after we move forward with this pilot testing project, if the commercial technology and desire to move forward with a commercial wind project bears fruition sometime in the future, that will have to go through an entirely different and entirely new leasing and permitting process, which will include an additional round of public information gathering and environmental analysis before that project can move forward. So that's a key point to make there. And I think that gives sort of the broad, quick overview of things. I don't want to take up a lot more time, but hand it back over to Heather here, and you can move forward with the rest of the panel.
Great. So I'm going to ask the panelists to come up to the table and introduce yourselves. So we're going to ask each of the panelists to just tell you all who they are, where they work, where they're from, and also what topics in particular they can speak to. This is a fun game of find your name tag that they're playing. And then after each of them tells you, you know, what they could answer questions about, Karihaga Wark, who is here from Stato, will also provide just a little bit of context for a video that she wanted to show, which provides a little bit more information about the technology that they're working with and would be quite relevant for their proposed project here in Maine. And then we'll go into the question and answer session. So, Daryl, I think you've already introduced yourself, so I'll move on to Ken. The microphones on the table there, you can each turn them on as you need them and pass them along the table.
Hi, I'm Ken Fletcher. And I was going to say, can you hear me now? But that's, I know, way too corny. I am Ken Fletcher, and I'm the director of the Governor's Office of Energy Independence and Security. And I'm here to try to answer any questions that you may have as to how ocean wind energy and ocean energy in general fits into what we view the future for the energy strategy for the state of Maine. The one thing I want to stress is that we're really at the beginning of the cycle, and there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of information and questions. So certainly I hope I do not develop the expectation that we've got it all figured out, because obviously we do not. But I think it's a learning process, and the more that we exchange information and bring the ideas forward, the more accurate and successful we will be. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
My name is Karihaga Mørk from Statoil. I'm in the project that we had proposed for and asked for a lease. I'll try to answer any question about the pilot park that we had proposed and maybe general technical questions.
Hi, I'm Rick Bellanes. I run a charter fishing business out of Rhode Island, and I'm a member of the State Fisheries Advisory Board.
Hi, I'm Pete Umars with the School of Marine Sciences at the University of Maine. My personal specialty is with animals that live on the bottom, but also with the physics of interaction between the fluids and and organisms in general. I'm here to answer environmental questions that I can. I work with about 34, 35 other faculty at the School of Marine Sciences. If I can answer your question here, I'd be happy to pursue it and get you an answer.
Thank you. My name is John Weber, and I work for the Northeast Regional Ocean Council, or NROC. And although that may sound like kind of a name for a radio station, what NROC really is the state, the New England states of Connecticut through Maine, who have been working together for several years now on a variety of regional ocean management and ocean policy issues. We have recently been successful in obtaining funding to further specifically develop data and information and to embark on a public engagement process for the next 2 years at least throughout New England, talking about some of the very issues that we're talking about here. As Ken said, I think early on, you know, obviously we are also approaching all of this as we are learning about this, and part of what I really actually want to do is hear you all today and hear the comments and questions that you raised, because some of these very same issues are definitely being repeated, as Rick has mentioned, elsewhere in New England.
Good afternoon. My name is Paul Williamson. I'm from the Maine Wind Industry Initiative. We are a supply chain development organization, a quasi-industry association. We work with six different trade associations in the state of Maine, the Associated General Contractors, Maine Marine Trades Association, Maine Composites Alliance, Maine Manufacturing Association, and E2 Tech, to measure and understand the depth and the capabilities of the Maine supply chain to respond to wind power, both onshore and offshore wind power opportunities. So basically what we've done is we've gone through and we've measured and we've surveyed and calculated what kinds of companies in Maine can respond to this opportunity, which companies can do the manufacturing, do the services part, provide the engineering, provide the environmental monitoring. Along with that comes with it the understanding of what kind of economic impact this is going to have for the state, what kind of jobs will be created, what kinds of skills are going to be required. And so we also work with the University of Maine Community College System and Maine Maritime Academy to understand those issues so that there could be the preparation for workforce development to be able to feed these opportunities as they start to develop to support this industry.
Great, thank you. Kari Haga, do you want to say a word or two before we run the video?
Yes, please. Yes, I have brought a movie that is made for the one offshore floating turbine that we have installed off the coast of Norway in the North Sea. And the idea is to give you all an impression of how does an offshore turbine look like and what kind of dimensions are we talking about. And also give you an impression of this is something that is possible to do. We have done it with one. We have a fantastic experience during the 2 years of operation with a capacity factor of 50%, which is above what we normally see for onshore or other offshore turbines. I'd like you to know that this is about the one that we have off the coast of Norway. The figures and numbers that you see here will not be exactly the same, because this was the first one and we are improving the design. We will put a bigger turbine on the top. We will optimize the foundation and make it better and cheaper. And this is the next step towards a more mature and commercial viable concept in the future. So please enjoy.